In the first reading today, we hear about God putting Abraham to the test. And it is a test that is really beyond anything else that we see in sacred scripture. This is the only time ever that God asked that someone would sacrifice their child. Now, most of you are parents. Ask yourself, if God had asked you to do something like that, what would your response be? You begin to see why this was such a severe test. You can also see then why, when Abraham was willing to obey God, that the blessings that were given were so profound. But we also have to put it in context, because if we just simply listen to that story, it's like, oh my goodness, why would I want to worship a God who's going to ask for something like that? Remember that Abraham had not always been so obedient to God. He was supposed to go to the land that God showed him, and then instead he wound up down in Egypt, and he's lying to Pharaoh, and he gives his wife to Pharaoh to be his wife, and all these kinds of problems that come about. And then he comes into the land, and he's got other problems that he's dealing with, and when the baby didn't come that he was expecting, then he goes and with some other woman, and all these things that are happening, he didn't trust God. Sounds kind of like us, doesn't it? We don't trust. But God had chosen Abraham to be the father of many nations. And so Saint Teresa tells us that when it comes to purifications in the spiritual life, she tells us that the length and the depth of those purifications will depend on several things. First of all, the sins that we have to make reparation for. Secondly, the level of holiness to which God is calling a person. And third, the number of people who are going to be touched or affected positively by what this person is going to do. So if Abraham is the father of all these nations, the number of people who are going to be affected by him is immense. Even the Lord told him, you know, this countless as the stars of the sky or the sands on the seashore. So if God is going to bless Abraham that abundantly, and so many people for centuries following, the test that Abraham was going to have to endure was going to be equally hard. And so Abraham is asked now to sacrifice his only son, which is an interesting point, because 25 years earlier, as I mentioned, he got himself in some hot water, because when a baby didn't come and his wife was beyond childbearing years, he decided to be with the slave girl. And they had a son. And you notice that God doesn't address that point and say, well, this is the other son. He says, no, your only son. Because it's the only one that was the legitimate son, the one who was the heir, the one that God promised. So now, when this happened, by the way, remember, Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90 when she had the baby. So for the elderly ladies here, just think about that. 90 years old having a baby. Yeah. And I was in the nursing home and all the 90-year-old ladies were all around the chapel in their wheelchairs. They thought that was pretty humorous. But now Abraham is being asked once again, do you trust? Do you trust that God can take care of things? Do you trust that he's going to be faithful to his promise? It looks like this is about to end. I thought this was the son of the promise. But you know what? If a baby could come along with a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman, then a baby can come along with a 108-year-old man and a 98-year-old woman too. God can do whatever he chooses to do. And so the question was, do you love me, Abraham, more than you love the child that I have given you? Now that is something that every parent has to really look at. Because remember that Jesus himself told us, if you love husband or wife or children or father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. So do we love God more than everybody else? Keep in mind, obviously, well, we're not telling you not to love your kids. We want you to love your children absolutely as much as you possibly can. But if you want to love your children more, you have to love God more first. And if you want to love your children more, you need to love your spouse more. So it's God to spouse to children. It's the way it works. And so do we have that love for God? We hear what St. Paul tells us in the second reading about God being for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And what did he say that God did? He gave his only begotten Son, his beloved Son. What he stopped Abraham from doing, he was testing Abraham, so he didn't allow Abraham to go through this because God does not want human sacrifice. But what he stopped Abraham from doing, God did himself. Isaac was not to be offered up, but Jesus was. And while this story has all kinds of stuff, unfortunately, it's way too long, so the church cut a whole bunch of stuff out of it. Keep in mind, Mount Moriah is where Jerusalem is. In other words, the very spot where Isaac was going to be offered is the spot where Jesus was sacrificed. So what God is doing here is helping us to be able to recognize the blessing that is going to be ours because of the obedience of Jesus. We see certainly the obedience of Abraham, and we can all marvel at that. But we also see the obedience of our blessed Lord. And we recognize then the blessing that is ours because of that. If because the blessing, the obedience of Abraham, we're going to have descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore, and the descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies, and all the nations will find blessing in Abraham, how much more through the obedience of Jesus? Because he was obedient unto death. But also, though, as we recognize in the gospel reading, and as we all know, but sadly, death tends to be something that human beings are terrified of. Even though as Christian people we know that there is something so far beyond and the only way to get there is to die. But we're still afraid. And so Jesus, to make sure that his apostles and us 2,000 years later wouldn't be afraid, he takes his apostles up Mount Tabor and is transfigured before them, showing a glimpse of the glory of the resurrection. And even when he told them not to speak about this until he had risen from the dead, they didn't understand what that meant. They had just seen a glimpse of what that would be, but there was no context to that. How could they understand? There was no way. So they pondered this within themselves, but how could they say anything to anyone else? Because they didn't get it. But what we see then is because of the obedience of Jesus, all of us have the blessing that God gives. That is the opportunity for eternal life. The death has been destroyed and life has been revealed. And that we have the opportunity to be able to go to heaven. For Abraham, all the blessings were in this world. You will have offspring that will be immense. And they will take possession of all of these things, and all the nations of the world will be blessed in them. Abraham is our father in faith. And so all those blessings given to Abraham come to us as well. But the blessings that come in Jesus, that has to do with eternal life, with the next world, not with this world. So we have Abraham's blessings here. We have our Lord's blessings for what follows. But every one of us is going to be tested. None of us is going to be unscathed. Because the question is, how much do we love the Lord? How much do we trust the Lord? How much do we actually believe in what it is that He has said? So He's going to test us. Because heaven isn't free. It's going to cost us. We have to be willing to say yes. We have to be willing to say, I want to be with God. And if that means I need to let go of some things here, so be it. Because there is nothing more important to me than God. Now again, as I mentioned, the only person that God ever asked to do anything with a child is Abraham. So I don't think that He's ever going to ask you to sacrifice a child. Don't have to worry about that. But what if He asks you to give up something else? What in your life has become sort of a false god? Maybe He'll ask you to give that up. It's like, oh no, my collection of whatever, I could never give that up. One day you're going to die and it's going to be left behind. You're going to wind up giving it up. So what if He were to ask you today to give it away? Do you love God more than your collection of whatever it is? Whatever, again, you can fill in the blank. What's so important in our lives that we've made it something of an idol, that we've made it more important than God? Then we can look and say, all right, we see what our Lord is showing us. He's showing us a glimpse of the resurrection. He's showing us a glimpse of the glory that is going to be ours. And does this thing, whatever it is that worth more to me than that? Am I willing to lose eternal life in heaven for something? Think of it that way. These things are not necessarily easy things for us to think about, but they're critically important for us to think about. God is for you, as St. Paul made very clear. Now each one of us has to ask the simple question, am I for God? That's what He's going to ask us. Lip service is easy. We can all sit here and say, yep, I'm all for God. Abraham could say that too, and as I mentioned earlier, it didn't always work so well. He gave God a lot of lip service and then did it himself. We tend to do the same thing. Are we really for God? He's going to ask that. And if we say yes, He's going to test it to see if we really mean it. And the way it tends to work when you look at the lives of the saints, you get tested and tested and tested and tested. Because the more you love Him, the more He's going to ask you to love Him more. So He's going to keep purifying that and keep testing. We have to keep saying yes. because he doesn't want us just to have a little bit of the blessing of Jesus. He wants us to have it all. Now, do we want that becomes the question. So if God is for us, who can be against us, as St. Paul answers? There's only one. That's our own self. Oftentimes, as we know, our own worst enemy, our own self. We get in our own way, we trip over ourselves, we make a mess out of everything. So there's nothing else that can stop us from getting to heaven except our own self. So as we continue now through this time of Lent, every year in the second Sunday, the church gives us the Transfiguration as a beacon, as a point of hope, as a reminder to us of why we're doing what we're doing. We're giving up these things. We're taking up the spiritual life. We're working on growing in holiness because there's a purpose. It's not just perfunctory stuff. It's so that we can grow in holiness, so that we can unite with Jesus, so that what he is offering in eternity is what we really want, to purify ourselves, to purify our hearts, so that the focus is on him. So when we look at that, we see the promise. We have in the second reading the point that there is nothing that can stop us except ourselves. And then we see in the first reading, there's going to be a test. The test isn't always going to be so easy, as we see with Abraham. So the question then is, how much do we love God? Or, as I mentioned, if God is for me, am I for God?